Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon or good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week at On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, and I want to wish everybody a wonderful weekend, and we want to thank you for joining us again. And I want to introduce my wonderful co, Lady Treese. How are you today?
I'm doing good, and you, sir?
Not too bad. I have no complaints whatsoever. And I see that we also have with us Chris Felton. You're joining us today. Sir Chris, how are you feeling today, sir?
I'm blessed, brother. How you doing?
Just about perfect. Just about perfect. I figure, I said this before, but I figure any day that I could wake up, there's not a worm standing over me, wearing a bib, holding a knife and a fork, talking about, now this might just hurt a bit. I'm good. Escaping being worm food is a good thing. So today we're gonna get into our little story here, and introducing our segment. I'm just saying, our topic is boldly entitled, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Reality. And this week, we're going to take a look at the bizarre stories that are kind of fed to us by the media and how some of the individuals who make the claims that launched them. And we'll try to figure out how and why the current state of affairs regarding freedom of press and the First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, have become kind of blurred or disfigured and most of all, abused by people and companies of today. And all at the same time, we're going to try to track where it all went wrong and how we can possibly fix it today at On Point. So let me tell you guys exactly what kind of prompted this. We've had some stories that have just been brought out, and I think that the media controls it. They make you, they force you to like things that you wouldn't normally like, force you to dislike things that you find no issue with, make you accept things that you know goes against your own moral fiber or your code of ethics. They try to make things make sense of things that makes no damn sense in the first place, and they also give in to frivolity, and like frivolous lawsuits. The media is big on it right now. Perfect example, and you guys tell me what you think. Three different situations. One about the young man, I believe his first name is Ahmed Mohammed, 12 years old. Media was all over this. Homeland terrorists. Who calls a child a terrorist in America? Homeland terrorists. Wonderful. Joy, joy, joy. Kid makes a clock, said it looks like a bomb, and takes it to his class. And mind you, straight A student, big in physics, wants to work with ITT, he's got looks from across the country. Now, he goes into class, presents this little clock. It's supposed to look like a bomb, allegedly. And here is what ensues thereafter. The teacher calls the police on the kid. And then she tells him to sit back down in class. After she calls the police, she doesn't go to the library. She doesn't go to the principal yet. Then she picks up the device, the alleged bomb, calls the kid out of class, takes him to the office with the alleged bomb before the police get there. They sit him down while he's holding the alleged bomb, waiting for the principal. The police come, they handcuff him. They handcuff the 12-year-old kid, and then they put the ankle brace on him, put him in the back of the car with the alleged bomb, and the police officer gets in there, and they all drive off happily ever after into the sunset. What the funkadoodle, really? And it's easy to see. It's easy to believe that this was just a smear job to make this child feel alienated or for somebody to act out on their own prejudices. First, they didn't evacuate the school. There was no bomb squad called in. The principal wasn't alerted first. They put the child in the principal's office and waited for him to get there with the alleged bomb. They didn't call his parents until after the child was arrested. They took the child down into custody. They took the kid into custody. Never read the child his rights. Not that he made a crime. They put him in the police car with the same damn alleged bomb and then drove off. And the media says, did the teacher go too far? Or was this just a sad misunderstanding? We think that she probably followed the protocol to the letter. I don't want my damn kid to go to that school. So let's see. If it was a bomb, everybody and their grandmama would have blown up. And, oh, my God, what a travesty. I'm just saying, what are you feeling? What are you feeling?
I feel like the media know how to blow things out of proportion to take your mind off of what's really happening. You know, you have so many serious things that's going on, and so they use certain stories to blow it out of proportion. Perfect example. Remember the bird flu, the H1N1 disease, the pig disease and all that? Now that, you know, that has died down, what happened to that? Have those diseases now went away? What happened to that? You know, or remember when back in May of 2012, they had a naked man out in Florida that was supposedly, he was a cannibalism, I believe it was, eating parts of a human body. It's just certain stories, I feel like they take it too far. Like what happened to some of those stories you guys made a big deal out of it, like with the bird disease, the H1N1, the SARS. What happened to that? Remember when those stories were coming into effect?
Let me chime in real quick here. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay,
so
here's my thing. First of all, nobody can make you do anything that you don't want to do. A picture is worth a thousand words. They call it television programming for a reason. And a lot of that has to do with most people don't research stories after they hear them. They just kind of hear them, take them with a grain of salt, and they go on about their business, you know, for the day. I find it interesting that most of the corporate-controlled media is owned by six companies, and those six companies, in turn, own, you know, pretty much of like magazines and things of that nature. And those are Time Warner, and that's your Time Warners, your Walt Disney corporations, your Viacom, your CBS, and your NBCs. people can do their research and find out what subsidiaries those companies also hold as far as magazines and things of that nature. But when you start delving into it, and you start seeing the bigger picture, it becomes kind of scary.
I don't see a picture that's so bright, so big, so broad that it would alienate a child, a 12-year-old little boy. And then
they took the light off the teacher.
They took the light off the teacher, and then they said that she was well within her rights. How was she in her rights? Nobody followed any protocol. They didn't follow protocol.
But it's not about alienating.
They call the child a terrorist. A terrorist? Really?
Here's the other thing.
So all of this was done, and then they said, well, it's a possibility that the child cheated anyway, that he took the inside, the inner guts of another device and created a different housing, because anyone can do that. So not only did they alienate him, causing him to be ostracized by the kids in his school, because they're going to have to move him, they also discredited the work that he put together. You could see it wasn't as complex as an Apple, as an iPhone, or an iPod. They're saying that it came from out of it. So you got all these people weighing in across the country against this little boy.
It doesn't matter
that six companies own the news media. My thing is I want people to stop and think for a moment. All you have to do is not listen to them. That's it.
It does matter in the sense that people are watching TV, people are listening to the radio stations. So these things
Let me finish.
These things shape how some people think. They shape your perception. No, it's easy to say, like, stop listening to it and stop watching it, but it's in your home. It's in your car when you drive to and from work. So it's easy to sit there and say, stop listening to these things, but they're, like it or not, they're shaping your perception. And the only way you're going to be able to get out of that is to, like, do your own
diligence. You know what? I got electric
toxins.
I have electric toxins all in my house. I don't use every single one of them.
But
just because they're there, they got thousands of items on the shelves. Just because thousands of items are on the shelf don't mean you have to get them all.
When you walk into the store in a mall, the music, right down to the design of the store, it's all there to shape your perception and to get you to in the mood to purchase things.
We were talking about frivolity, and here's one. A man, his name is he's a photographer, and let me make sure I got it right. I think it was Slater. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Indonesia. He was in Indonesia. And he set up his camera. He had his camera laid out. He was taking pictures of these monkeys. And they're called Macaques. Macaque. And he was taking these pictures, you know, of the wildlife around and the monkeys. And the photographer, who is a nature photographer, David Slater. Mr. Slater left his camera out. The monkey came over to the automatic shutter device, and he started pushing it. Attracted by the sound, he started taking pictures of himself. Okay. He takes the pictures. He puts them in National Geographic. He puts them in Today's World and some other magazines. Can you believe this stupid organization, PETA, P-E-T-A, made a federal court case to sue Mr. Slater for the rights of his pictures because they believe that the monkey, had his rights violated. And they figured the monkey should be compensated for all the pictures that were used and his likeness in the magazine. And the media ate it up. They said, they posted the question, now, do the pictures belong to the monkey because he took the selfie? Really? Who owns the camera? Okay, so I have a car. It's my car. I make the payment. And I clean it. I put the gas in it. And I let you drive to the store to get groceries for me. He said, well, I drove it, so I should keep the grocery. I'm like, no, that's my car. He said, well, until you let me use it. Make sense of that. And the media says, the media is on PETA's side. They're saying, well, all things considered, this is Fox, all things considered, they have a strong platform. What?
But I'm saying,
another freaking frivolous lawsuit endorsed by the media for a monkey. What, Chris?
I didn't say
anything, man. I've already said what I had to say, but you're not hearing.
You're saying that. It's easy to say that, television, so it's already there.
What I'm saying is that you have the media is not your friend. It's like the police; they're not your friend. It's there to shape your perception and to keep you off track. So if people do their due diligence and do their own research when they hear certain stories, and start putting two and two together for their own, for their own sake, and not just taking things at face value, then perhaps people can start, to change things.
Okay.
But until that,
okay.
you're not going to be able to do anything.
I see what you're saying. That's perfectly clear. So what you're saying is, in the meantime, you're saying exactly what I said. You said, you know what, just listen to it, but you don't have to pay attention to it.
No, I'm not saying don't pay attention to it. I'm saying listen
to
it. I'm saying listen to it, pay attention to it, do your own research, but don't allow it to shape your perception. People will listen to it, pay attention to it, and then take it with a grain of salt and go on about their day. They don't do their own research. Therefore, it's shaping their perception when they go to talk about it. It's shaping their reality because they haven't researched the story on it. They see something on the news that happens. They kind of know it doesn't really quite make sense, but they don't, they're just like, oh, okay, whatever. There's a wonderful movie that was made in 1999 called Arlington Road. It stars Bo Bridges and John Cusack, and it's about it's about terrorism. Check that out. That's all I'm gonna say about the movie. Just check it out, and then maybe we can do a show.
Huh? What about the people that are listening? What do you just say? Check the movie out. What does it have to do with what we're seeing?
It kind of delves into the whole perception of how media plays into shaping people's opinions about things that happen. Because to make a long story short, the main character in the movie, he's a school teacher, and he notices something in his neighborhood about one of his neighbors. He gets suspicious. He starts doing an investigation. He finds out that his neighbor's a terrorist. Long story short, the main character is made the martyr for the things that the neighbor does, and the media shapes the perception of the main character. But you don't find that out until like nearing the end of the movie. It's very.
Here's
dark and eerie and foreboding, but it kind of goes along with what you're saying.
Here's something else, and Lady Trees, please come in. But here's my thing. There's a there's this overwhelming cloud, overwhelmingly large cloud of misperception, and about people, and I'm not going to get into a color issue. I want you to just hear it. If a police officer rolled up on you, and it interfered with your day, would you cuss him out? That's a simple answer, guys. Would you cuss him out? Yes or no?
No.
I wouldn't curse him out for interfering with my day, but if he got disrespectful.
Then that's different.
Here's my thing. So you wouldn't cuss him out?
No.
And,
so just interfering with my day.
Here's a guy. Okay, here's a guy. The Sandra Bland case. This is controlled by the media, too. If, for those listening, go back and watch YouTube for the Sandra Bland video, the whole video. Before that young lady was stopped, there was a kid who was stopped. The kid had no registration, no proof of insurance, was driving on a no proof of insurance, and was driving on a suspended license. The officer gave the kid a warning. I'm not going to say what color he was. I'm going to just say, at that point, the officer was either being exceptionally nice or he didn't do his damn job. He even went so far as to tell the kid, what you should do is tell your father that your driver's license is suspended so that you can get this issue fixed. And he said, you're right, officer. I guess I should. Wow, man, I really didn't know. He gave him a warning. You don't have proof of insurance. You don't have proof of registration, or the registration that you have there is not for you. You don't. You're driving on a suspended driver's license. You are out of the car. Your car is getting towed, and you're walking home. He let him go. Right after he let him go, he got back in his car. He saw another car turn up the block. Imagine a straight line. Up the block, to the left. Another car came out of an intersection, turned and made a right-hand turn, going southbound from where you and I are looking straight on. He went up the street, turned around. If you look on the lady's car, you see lights. Flashed her. She pulls over, and then he gets her for illegally crossing the lane. He said, why did you do that? She said, I was letting you by. He says, well, what makes you think I wanted to get by? And you can still see the lights are flashing on her car. The media said, maybe she handled this wrong. She had her driver's license. She had her insurance. She had her she had her proof of registration. She was smoking in her car. He told her to stop smoking. Mind you, just 6 minutes earlier, he let a kid go for not with no, with driving on a suspended license, no proof of insurance, failure to provide adequate registration. And the media said, what could she have done different?
You know what I saw when I saw that video?
Do tell.
What was that?
I saw two things. A, I saw a person of so-called authority overstepping his bounds. Number one, you don't tell me what I can do in my own vehicle. That's number one. Number two, you put your hands on it, and I didn't do anything. And the other thing, and I saw somebody allow it, those two things. And then the other thing that I saw, well, actually you didn't see it because it happens off camera, which is questionable to begin with because it happened off camera. You can hear the audio is perfectly clear, but it happens off camera. So you don't really know what's going on. All you can hear is just the dialogue. So it may have happened or it may not have happened. You don't know. And then, you know, there's the whole media circus that surrounded the issue afterwards. That's what I saw. Somebody else may have saw something totally different. The media has a way of affecting each and every person, their perception, depending on,
it's just like what you said, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's just like what you said. People need to do research. They know that they can say certain things and get people to run into a frenzy to have these pandemics. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So if you don't do your research, or if you don't do your own, or if you don't check into it, then, I mean, you'll forever be scared. And yes, I get it.
Exactly.
The internet can put on anything. I mean,
exactly.
Google, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can put anything on the internet. But be your own person and do your own research. It's sad that they're using certain stories and blowing them out of proportion to just make you fear. But, you know,
and
people
and
need
I'm
to do research.
And the other thing that I'm curious about is
what's happening.
All right, so you use good judgment.
Why now all of a sudden?
Wonderful. You use good judgment. Now what? You use good judgment. Now what? What else do you do?
You need the truth. That for her family, Sandra Bland, they need the truth. That I don't think that lady committed suicide, in my personal opinion. I really don't.
Okay,
I don't.
And I get that. But here's my thing. Here's my thing. All of that aside, and I'm not eschewing the issue. All of that aside, now you've researched, you've listened, you watched the show. What now?
I mean, you just got to see what the outcome will be, and hopefully
that's my whole point.
Side.
Everybody watching the outcome.
No, you're eventually going to have to pick a side of the fence, man. Protesting and marching and doing all these things like they did in the 60s, the time for that is come and gone. Like, you're going to have to pick a side. People are going to have to pick a side.
My dad went like this. My dad told me, my daddy used to tell me, do not come to me with the problem. My daddy told me, do not come to me with the problem if you don't have part of a solution.
I can give you an answer. The thing is that most people don't have a solution. They see what's going on, but they don't have a solution because they don't know what to do. Because people have been so ingrained.
Here's something to do.
They need a leader.
And that's wonderful. Here's something to do. Don't patron them.
Don't listen.
Don't watch Channel 5. Everybody and their grandmama got up in arms. Hold on. I'm just saying. Channel 5, you guys are perfect, wonderful, joy. I'm using you as an example. Here's the thing. Everybody and their grandmama wrote in when a TV show came on and the guy shot the lady in the back of the head. They said, oh, that was horrendous, and you guys showed it. It was, oh, my God, we're just going to end. They wrote letters upon letters upon letters. Somebody bashed, when Jay Leno was on television, somebody bashed Jay Leno for talking about the president. His ratings dropped because people tuned out. They stopped watching. A group of people stopped watching. Now, all I'm saying is this. If you see a situation where the media, you believe the media, has overstepped its boundaries, ABC, NBC, CBS, TNT, ESPN, or C-SPAN, MSN, matters a damn. If you see it, you got the power of the pen. I know they've taken penmanship and out of schools, but you still know how to write. You still have a voice. You still can say something.
Drawing to a close. Like, you do know that they're slowly, that the stuff that you write down and the stuff that you say, they're holding that against you now. I think the best thing to do is, I mean, if you are going to say something, like, you might want to say it around, if you're going to speak out. Amongst friends and family and get the word out that way. But, you're probably going to have
You want everybody to just sit in the cell.
I'm saying that goes back to what I said earlier. You're going to have to pick a side of the fence.
Okay, here's my side of the fence. The side of the fence that you pick
might cost you your life. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, you saying CBS is going to come after me because I say, you know what, people don't look at their news. Really? Is that what you're saying?
It's bigger than that, bro. I'm saying.
Okay, look.
Don't get me wrong. There is freedom of speech, but there is consequences with it. You can say what you want to say.
Exactly.
Don't get me wrong, but there's consequences when saying whatever you want to say. Like, when you say whatever you want to say, make sure that you can back it.
We're going to have to revisit this because we're out of time, and we're going to come back to this. So, everybody, thank you very much for tuning in with us this week, and we're going to come back next week. Thank you, and again, for joining us at On Point.
On Point.
On Point.